Ambassador Baptist Church, to those who are here in presence with us this morning gathering, and for those online or those who will be watching later, we welcome you. I have a couple of announcements. The Wednesday night Bible study group meets weekly at 7 p.m. in the church basement. We are studying the miracles of Jesus, and this week we will look at his second miracle, the nobleman's son, which is found in John chapter 4. There are handout sheets available on the podium for this week's study. I encourage you to pick one up. Even if you do not attend our weekly study, use it for your personal devotion time. On Saturday, August 23rd, there will be a 50th birthday Thanksgiving and Singspiration for Pastor James from 2 o'clock until 3:30 p.m. A reception will follow in the church basement. Please plan to attend this special time of celebration. Our call to worship this morning, it can be found in Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2, which says, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. O my soul, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." Our first hymn is, "I Gave My Life for Thee." So please stand if you are able.
At this time, God, our Father, we thank you so much for the ability to be here and to worship you this morning. Lord, we just pray for those that aren't with us today. We pray for those that are in hospital or at home recuperating. We pray for Millie. We pray for Mary that have undergone some surgery. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch on their bodies. Lord, we pray for people that are traveling, that you give traveling mercies. Lord, we just thank you that you watch over each one of us at all times. No matter where we are, no matter what we do, Lord, your watchful eye is upon us, and we just thank you so much for your protection, for your love, for your comfort in times of difficulties and loss. We thank you for your miraculous healing that we can read about in your scripture, in your word, where you brought healing in situations that it didn't even appear possible. But Lord, we just thank you for your healing power, and we again ask for your healing power upon those that need it. Pray for Sylvia, who's not able to be here this morning as well. Lord, you know the needs of each person. Even if we're not aware of those needs, you know our needs. You know exactly what we need as far as our healing in our lives. You know what we need as far as being drawn to you and helping us to be faithful in your word and in our witness and our walk with you. So, Lord, we just ask that you provide the things that we need. We thank you for your provision for our church. We thank you for your presence and the fact that you walked with us through several years without a pastor. And, Lord, we thank you for Pastor James and his witness and his faithful service here with us at our church. Lord, we just ask that you bless his ministry and the lives of all the people he touches as he's doing many things in our, not only for our church family, but within our community, Lord. And we just ask your blessing as he serves you faithfully here in this place. Lord, we just thank you for traveling mercies for anybody that is traveling, and watch over them, Lord. We thank you for each person in our church family. Lord, we just know that we can lay all of our concerns at your feet, and you listen to our prayers. You hear us when we pray, and we just thank you that you respond to us. We thank you for Kathy and the healing that you've brought on her, and the fact that she's here this morning with us as a testimony to your faithfulness. So, Lord, we just thank you for that as well. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful weather, and we know that people are traveling, so we ask for traveling mercies on anyone within our church family that's traveling, and we ask for protection for Janet as she travels home today. So, Lord, we just ask for that as well. Lord, we thank you for this church and what it represents in our community when people look at the church and see that the roof points upwards to you. And, Lord, we just ask that we be a witness for you in this place to our community. Give us the opportunities, Lord, to implement programs that will spread your word and give a message of love and hope to the community that we're in. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities that you do provide for us to do that. And we thank you for each opportunity you lay before us, whether it's in our workplaces or in our neighborhoods or within our own families where there's family members that we have on our hearts because they don't know you as their Lord and Savior. So, Lord, give us the ability to be a good witness for you in all of the places that we serve in and where we attend. So, Lord, we just ask for you to help us to be your lights in this world. Lord, we just thank you for our city and our country. Lord, we thank you for the leadership that's in charge within our different levels of government. And, Lord, we just know that we often complain about what's being done or decisions that are made. But, Lord, we just ask that you bring godly people that and turn their hearts to you that to have positions of office that they will seek after you and make godly decisions for our country as a whole. Lord, we know that when a country is faithful and honoring to you, that you will bless the people there. And Lord, we just ask that you would watch over our country, Canada, help us to stay, be more in tune with doing what you would have our country to do. So be in the hearts of those leaders. Change them if they don't know you as their Savior, Lord. But we just pray for our country and our leadership. Lord, we pray for our missionaries that serve all across the globe. Lord, you know the people that are serving you, whether they're sponsored through CBOQ or other organizations, Lord. But we just thank you for the witnesses, the missionaries that have gone out and committed their lives to serving you in places that need to hear your word. And, Lord, we just ask that you bless this ministry. We just ask that your word be spread throughout the globe. We have the freedom to read it, but there's places that people don't have that freedom. So, Lord, we just ask that you provide that freedom and protection for believers that are in countries where there's persecution. Lord, we just ask that as we continue in worship here, that you tune our hearts to you. Lord, we ask that your spirit be here in our midst and speak to us. Lord, through the words in these songs, as well as through the scripture that's read and through the preaching that's given. So, Lord, we just pray that your everything that's spoken and sung is honoring and glorifying to you. And just, Lord, touch our hearts as we sing your praises and worship you going through this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to do some
scripture readings this morning are taken from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Our first scripture reading is in Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. That is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3, verses 6 through 12. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Then if you turn to Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament, chapter 23, verses 23 through 28. Again, that's Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 through 28. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Here ends the reading of the word.
So good morning to each and every one of us. It's nice to have you here. We're grateful to God for life and for breath. I'm excited this morning. One of the reasons I'm excited is because for the first time in a lot of months, I get to see the person I've always talked to on phone. That's Kathy. It's nice having you here. We bless God for the strength. So when she greeted me this morning, she said, "This is Kathy." I said, "Okay, this is James." But then I walked off and it sounded familiar, so I had to go to Kevin. And I said, "Is that Kathy?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." I was asking myself, because the name sounded familiar, but I couldn't place a face that I knew. So we bless God. Thank God you're here, and thank God for his strength to have had to fight cancer. I know there's still a lot to process, there's still a lot going, but we're thankful at least that you're here, you're now, and I'm glad, you know. So I feel full this morning, like someone who has eaten. That's how I feel, because it's joyful. We continue to pray and remember all our other members who have stuff to fight. You know, life will keep happening, and the grace of God will keep carrying us. And somehow, many a times, we may not get the answers we want from him the way we want it. But the good thing is that I always tell people, each time I remember Paul tells us how that God can answer you just like this. Pa! It's like, just like that, it happens. And then Paul also helps us to realize, even from his own experience, that God may still tell you, "My grace is sufficient." So I'm not taking it off. You have to pass through it, but the assurance is that I'm there with you. And so some of us would go through stuff, and some of us may escape some stuff. Now, the interesting part is that our paths may be different, But ultimately, we are one family in Christ. And so when people in our faith community go through stuff, we all are a part of that experience. And so we must keep praying. We must show care. We must show concern, because ultimately, that's why God, in his wisdom, have put us together as a family. So, having said that, this morning, we continue on our subject of giving. And today, I'm going on an interesting journey. It may speak to some of us. It may rub off on some people in a way they don't like. It may, you know, come to you in a way you like. But the most important thing is that we get to look at the scripture and we get to take formed opinion that is informed by God's word. And then ultimately, both those of us online and those of us here, like I'd always say, it's good to go back and then you go and check all the stuff that James said, if they are so, and how is the conviction of the Holy Spirit working that out. I'm sure so far that we started the series on the subject of giving, we've tried to touch some things, and we've tried to pinch on some things, and we're trying to see as much as we can have a balanced view of what God meant when he expects us to be generous or to be givers. So I think so far we're trying to set that straight. And like I always say, as a pastor, that's not something you always want to talk about. But one of the things I've learned in my little life is that when God begins to place certain things in your spirit, you don't shy away. It's part of his word. And then you have an obligation to lead people so that we see it in right perspective. And we also help those around us to see in right perspective what God has said. So today, I'll be sharing with us more than tithing. More than tithing. Whether it's tithing or tithing, anyone you take, you understand what I'm saying. What is tithe? Tithe is said to be 10%. Some will say 10% of your profit. Some will say 10% of your income. So I'm not going to get into the theological argument of which is which. The issue is that it's either 10% of your profit or 10% of your income. Whichever resonates with your spirit, where you have conviction, do that. So we don't need to argue about that. The major thing is that you have an understanding. There's a 10% that God would say at least do. But then that is the least, I would say, based on the Old Testament records. And so in Malachi, very wonderful scripture. Pastors love this. Church leaders like it. Why? Because it is a legalistic kind of scripture that helps people to be threatened to give. It said, "You have robbed me." Now, that doesn't look like God smiling with them at that moment. He was like telling them, "I don't like what you guys have done." And he said, how can we rob you? You are the Almighty. It's not possible. You're too far. Yet you are close. But how? He said, because you have withheld your tithes and your offerings. Wow. And so he goes on, and that's the one that a lot of times I have seen preachers, pastors, leaders want to emphasize. And then he says, because you have not given, it means that the devourer will not be rebuked, and then you operate under a curse. All those things were said. But remember, those were statements made where? Where was it made? Old Testament. God's relationship with Israel in the Old Testament was a relationship that was based on the law. And so the relationship based on the law was premised upon fear and dread. Fear that should be reverential, but then ultimately it was the fact that God was not to be dared. And the children of Israel came to know that, because for every disobedience to the law, consequences that were strong were meted out or experienced by them, so that that would deter anyone who seeks to walk in disobedience to God. And so in Isaiah, it says in Isaiah 1:18, I think he said that, he said, if 18, 19, 20, thereabout, he said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, he said, a sword will devour you. So when you look at the first five books of the Bible, which is referred to as the Pentateuch, you see a situation whereby God gives them the law. God shows them. And I tell you, by the time you move through, you will discover that the law, so much, thousands of them, ultimately. And one thing is certain, no person could ever keep the law. Because when you fail in one, they said you are failed in all. Wow. It's like saying, now you have these exams, and they have put an instruction there, attempt all. Or fail all. So there's no, you are expected to attempt all. If you don't attempt all, you have failed all. It doesn't matter how many you attempted. Now you say, that's a wicked person. Why would you do that? Those were the ways that God dealt with them in the Old Testament. But then fast forward, God moves his dimension of glory into the New Testament, and the Bible says this same God came down in the form of flesh in sending his son to show us what love is and who God is. And so the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. So we saw and began to see another dimension of God, not living or leading or instructing our lives based on the law, but based on grace. For by grace, Paul says, you have been saved, not of your own works, lest anyone should boast, because it is the free gift of God. And so in the New Testament, we are not looking at a legalistic approach to God, but we are looking at an approaching God based on his love for us. And how do we understand that? He said, if God did not withhold his son from dying for us, he said, is there anything, Paul asked, that he will not freely give us to enjoy? And so we see the generosity of God premised on grace. Why? Because God wanted us to relate to him from the place of love, from the place of grace. And so we do not live by the law, we live by grace. And so for those of us who are Christians in the New Testament, we take the moral principles of the law, but then we live it out by grace. For by grace you have been saved, not of your own works, in essence, not necessarily as to how you are able to keep the thousands of the law. It is the free gift of God. So our giving is premised on the love of God and the generosity of God, which he has extended to us, which is based on his love. So our response back to him is a loving response. You don't give to your spouse in court because you are afraid of your spouse. You don't give to your children because you are afraid. When what you give is out of fear, there's issue. If you have to give something to your spouse and it's out of fear, then there is a subtle psychological violence going on that violates you as a person. And I always love this. When people are in love, it's very easy for them to be generous. How many of you agree? But when the love starts dying, and then you say, oh, honey, can you spare this? Say, don't honey me. The answer is no. You say, I've not finished explaining. The answer is no. What is happening? The love has started to have problem. And so everything is seen from the eyes of prejudice, hatred, and whatever. Because when the person is in love, and then you say oh, would one be okay? Love is talking. Especially when it is men, and the lady is the one asking. Say, oh, no, you need one? No, no, I'll get you three. I'll get you three. Love is still working there. And so, love makes the person to be generous. But when the relationship begins to get fractured, then even the wife that is loving enough to say, darling, don't worry, I've got it, they say, take care of the bill. I said, but you have, I said, take care of the bill. Is it my responsibility? Take care of the bill. The love is already having a problem. Sometimes, if we're not careful in relating with God, even though we want people to give, we go to this Malachi and then we express and show the God who wants to, like a tax master waiting for you to fail and ready to beat your life up and ready to mess you up. And so, oh, you didn't give, don't worry. A curse is hanging. And so your giving is not because you love. Your giving comes because you don't want the curse of God. How many of us have been in church setting, maybe while we're growing or for some years, and you've listened to messages like that and say, I have cursed you, all of you. I say, why? Because you did not give your tithe and offering. Brothers, sisters, if you do not give your tithe and your offering, the curse of God is coming against you. And so we preach people to give to God because they are trying to dodge his curse, not because they love him. Sometimes that works. Some people just need to be afraid so that they could give because they want to dodge the curse of God. But is that right? No. Because we are not in the Old Testament. That's why some people struggle that, oh, you listen to two extremes. There is the extreme, I am not a tither, I will never give my tithe. Then you listen to the other extreme. Oh, you need to give your tithe. If you don't give your tithe, you cannot get the blessings of God. Two extremes. Talking about something else. Because God has moved beyond that. To show us an example. And he has said, if he, Paul speaking, would release his son, there is nothing he will not give us to enjoy. So that means the height of God's gift and his blessings in our life is not premised on what we do. It is premised on what Christ has done. So you and I are not blessed. Neither will you and I access the blessings of God because of what we are able to do. Rather, he says, if Jesus died for us, there is no blessing that God will withhold from you and I. So have you received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior? If your answer is yes, it means you are blessed and highly favored. It means you carry the blessings of God. You are not going to do anything that will make you get that. But then look at it. If he has loved you and I enough to give his life, then and also give us breath and also give us salvation, and also says he gives us everything to enjoy. That means out of what he has given to us, it should never be difficult if truly we love him to be able to give to him. So it is not an act or pressure when you are giving to a loved one. But it is pressure when you are giving out of scare. And so when Jesus came in his ministry, he never needed to emphasize about tithing. You know why? In their day and time, it was normal You could never say you are a Judaizer. You could never say you are someone who was practicing Judaism and you did not know that giving your tithe was as natural. It was a known thing because they had taught them the scriptures while they were young. You had to know the whole scripture, which is the Torah then. And so if you knew that, you know that is something you're expected to do. So nobody needs to reemphasize it to you. But then look at it. When Jesus comes, the Pharisees, they were very good legalistic tithers. Some people say, oh, well, you see, tithing was about harvest, farm proceed, animal increase. So in the New Testament and in our time, we don't need all those stuff. So you cannot use money as a thing that you use to replace your tithing. A lot of discussions have gone on that, and people are getting crazy about that. I say, well, there are different types on the subject of tithing. That's not where we're going today. There are different types of tithe. But then one thing is real. When you check Jesus' statement in that Matthew, you discover that, yes, the Pharisees were very, very legalistic about making sure that whatever they brought from the farm, whatever that was an income, they gave the tithe. And Jesus never said, don't. I hope some of us, you saw that. Jesus said, you spend time being accurate about your tithe. Like we are trying to avoid God's anger, God's wrath. But that's not the issue. He said, you left the weightier matters. Wow. That means Jesus is saying the tithing is not as weightier as you are carrying it when it doesn't come with the right things that goes with it. What is that? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. He said, you do not need to practice one and leave the other. You have to do it together. In essence, what God wants from you and I is more than the tithing. Your tithing, my tithing, is as relevant as I becoming, you becoming an embodiment of God's love. Not just as a duty. So Jesus never said there, don't pay your tithe. He says, it is balanced for you to learn to do both. Because the weight of what you are given in the present time, as far as Jesus was concerned, it is as weighty as you learn to practice justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That's like saying you have this menu and it comes with some condiments, and if you really want to enjoy it, you need those other things to go if you're going to enjoy the meal. And so you could take the meal without this, but if you really want the full package that you enjoy, you need that. In Luke, Jesus says in Luke 11:42, Jesus would say that, look, you have neglected the subject of love and justice. Yes, you neglected love, justice, and the love of God. Luke 11:42. In Luke 18:12, Jesus says that, oh, there was a Pharisee that was busy boasting about his tithing. He said, I'm not like that guy there. I give my tithe, I fast. And Jesus says, no, The subject of tithing is not something to boast about. It is something you do out of love for God. Because it's not a competition. It's a percentage. And that means you and I being able to come to a place in acknowledgement that God has been good to me. God has blessed me. The least, at least, you and I, we should be able to do is to give a tenth. That's the least. Because like we saw some weeks ago, Paul will say, each one of you, as you propose in your heart, give bountifully. That was Paul's recommendation. And then we also saw in the Old Testament where when they were building and they were giving to the mission, the Bible says they gave freely. So much that those who were administrators of the funds said to Moses, tell the people not to bring again. We have too much funds. And I said that would be a wonderful thing to experience as a pastor. Just say, let's stop giving offering right now. I've heard from the finance department, we have enough funds. God bless you. Keep your money this week. Wow. That will be a wonderful day. Amen. It will reduce the prayers. To reduce the concerns. When certain things are to be done. And definitely, a lot of churches will not be closed up. I hope you understand. If there was enough funds and the church had more, you would even say, what's the problem in that church? Okay, we'll send you some funds to assist you as well. So Jesus never said, do not give your tithes. He says, there's a requirement to have mercy, justice, and faithfulness. So what does justice refer to? Justice refers to upholding what is right and fair. What is right and fair? Both in personal conduct and in interactions with others. Again, justice refers to upholding what is right and fair. Both in personal conduct and in interactions with others. So the question is, are you fair to people? Are you fair in your dealings with others? Because if you are a good tither and you encourage or perpetrate injustice, Jesus is saying, you're not doing well, I'm not doing well. Mercy, this means showing compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. Especially to those who are vulnerable or have made mistakes. Some of us pride ourselves, that is if we do, oh, I give my tithe, I'm very faithful. But you are not merciful towards people. When people make mistakes, when people fall into a vulnerable situation, you're willing to take advantage of them, or you're willing to just outrightly condemn them without being restorative in your action and in your attitude towards them. Jesus is saying, showing mercy, showing compassion, showing kindness, being able to forgive is required even as you give your tithe to God. Faithfulness, that's the third thing that it says in that Matthew chapter 23. This involves being loyal, trustworthy, and true to one's commitment, particularly to God's word and covenant. So when he says justice, mercy, faithfulness again means this involves being loyal, trustworthy, and true to one's commitment, particularly to God's word and covenant. Are you a trustworthy person? Am I a trustworthy person? Are we loyal? I'm not talking to loyalty with blindness or loyalty to what is wrong. But are you a loyal person? Are you a trustworthy person? Are we people who are true to our commitment, particularly to God's word and covenant? Do you know how some people feel sometimes when they give to God? It's like, God, I bribed you, I've settled you, look the other side. And sometimes some people feel, well, it's like a gate fee. Well, I came to church and I gave my tithe, I gave my offering. It's like you're going to a football match or a soccer match or a concert, and that was the ticket. But that's not the idea. Said, well, I had a good service. Well, I sure paid for it. No, that's not why we give. We give because we love God. That's why we give. And that's what God wants. A giving that is born out of love. Not out of pressure, not out of stress, not out of a fear that is going to cost us. No. That is not the God who so loved the world and sent his only begotten Son to us. So I want us to note, more than tithing, is that God wants us to be examples and embodiment and expressions of his love. That are given comes from a place of love, not because we are afraid he's going to curse us. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, it said, Christ was nailed to the cross. He hung on the cross so that every curse that was against us can be what? Has been broken, has been crushed. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is he that hangs on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might be ours. And you know the first person who gave tithe was Abraham. At least the one I can see that I remember. Abraham in Genesis chapter, was it 14 verse 20? He gave the tithe of all after he went and he fought a battle and he got profit. The spoils from the, he gave to Melchizedek, tithe. So when some people say, oh, you see, actually, the thing about tithing in the New Testament, we don't need to tithe again. It was just, you know, part of, before the law came by Moses, before the law were given, all the Levitical laws about that relates to tithing, Abraham did what? He tithed. He tithed to Melchizedek. And that tells us something. It is an act that comes from worship. It should remain an act that is from the place of worship and of love, not based on trying to dodge. Oh, I don't want the devourer to devour my life. I don't want to. And some pastors, interestingly, we can squeeze that so much so that people, you go back home and say, oh, I just want to send it. I don't want God's problem. I don't want his. No, that's not the God that showed us his love in the New Testament. That was where God started from, because the people had hardness of heart and they will not respond to that level of grace, as at that time they could only respond to the law. And the law was a schoolmaster to prepare us for the grace of God. And the grace of God has appeared to all men. That grace is from where we give today. And so can I say to us, as we proceed on in our lives, I want you to be able to at least give your tithes. Not because you're waiting for God not to knock your head or the devourer not to devour your life. No. But because you truly love him, because he first loved you. And so Jesus didn't spend time emphasizing on tithing, but he never told them not to. Rather, he says, it is more than tithing. It has to do with justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Which means we must live life that show the gratitude and that shows love. Compassionate, kind, trustworthy, reliable, dependable people, so that as we give to God's work, as we give to spread God's word, as we give for the welfare and the administrative running of the church and in blessing others and in doing mission and outreach, we are doing it because we love God and we love him enough that we love also our neighbors and we want God to reach them through us. And when we do that, we walk in the blessedness and the bliss of who Jesus is and all that he came to do, knowing that we have been good lovers and not just people who are pressured to give. Can I say to you, and I want you to think about this, have you ever given at any forum or any forum, whether personally or collectively, that when you finish doing, maybe helping, blessing somebody, giving to a family, you just feel good? How many of us have felt like that? Is that feeling not better than when it looks as if you are being pressured to do it? Is it not better? That's what God wants for us. And that's what God wants us to be in our world and in this season. That's my encouragement this morning. And that means, listen, giving your tithe is not your offerings and other stuff. It's actually the first step. And as much as you can do generously in the New Testament, we are asked to do. Which means you can give. It doesn't have to always be 10%. You could give more than 10% because you're not under the law, held by that. It's the level to which you feel love that you do. Two, it means that it's not just your tithe that's the only thing you can give to support the work of the church. You can go a step further. There is outreach. There are welfare. There are other things that you could be a part of. You could also make sure that out there, there are things and causes you could give to us to support so that we continue to make the society a better place. I'll round off with this. This morning, as I was coming, and then I saw, you know, I saw someone, and they were doing yacht sales. I was wondering. And the person said, you know why? This yacht sale that we're doing today is for snaps for cats. Okay. What does that mean? Because I don't understand whether you're taking pictures for cats or whatever. And then she said, no, we run a cafe. It's a charity, it's an organization, and we help to rescue and get to receive stray cats. And then we nurture and take care of them and then look for people who can adopt them to adopt them. I said, wow, that's good. And I said, I'm going to talk about that when I get to church today. Because somebody is looking for how to be a blessing. And I know some of you may not like cats, but some people like dogs. Amen. Good. So we're going to think of charity for dogs. I think I have more dog lovers here than the cats. Is anyone here who is a cat lover? They didn't come to church today. Okay, no problem. Well, I love all, but I don't have any. Amen. That's another way. So I got to encourage and just did the little donation I could. And for that, I got something interesting, even though I wasn't expecting that. I kind of got how to bake. And I said, Janet will love that because now I'm going to be a baking student. Amen. All I'm just saying is this. God wants us to be an embodiment of his love in our giving, either in the church or outside. Not as a pressure, but out of love. Let's bow down our heads as we pray this morning. Can you talk to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be able to give not because I'm scared, but to give because I love you. To give not because it's a law. No, to give because I have enjoyed your grace. I am still enjoying your grace. I believe I'll continue to enjoy your grace. That's what motivates me. That's what should motivate me I don't want to give as a duty. I want to give as a lifestyle. Help me, God. And help those around me and in our church family to do same. So that we can have funds enough to do the ministry that God has called the church to do. And also to help the ministries in and around us to do the things God has called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we are grateful. We come before you because we know you want us to give generously to your work as people who have received and enjoy your grace. Help us henceforth not to give because of pressure, not to give because others say it, not to give because we don't want to end up under any curse. Because you've shown us a better way that we are to give because of love. Lord, because we have received and we continue to enjoy your love. Help us, oh God, to come to a place where it is easy to give our tithes, our offering, whatever we give from a place of love for you. As an expression of what you have done for us. Not that we could pay you, but as a token. Help it to be easy for us and let it be a lifestyle for us. Continue to bless us and our families. Give us the income. Give us the profits. Because without having them, then we can't give. We thank you because we know you will do much than our expectations and our prayer. In your name alone be glorified upon our families, for those who are looking for a job, for those whose businesses are not moving, for those whose job or incomes are not coming the way it should have been. We ask, oh God, there be divine intervention and that you're stepping into our case. Help us to know we are loved. Help us to realize we are loved. And help us to live out your love to our world. In Jesus' name, and somebody say amen.